Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Not only are we in the Huddle, Lincoln, we're actually at Lincoln Kennedy's restaurant here in Henderson, the Angry Crab Shack over at 4250 East Sunset Road. It's a beautiful spot. We got plenty of televisions to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Dallas Cowboys game tonight. Obviously, great food, great drinks.
And make sure when you guys come by, you guys ask about the Raider Room. We've got a Raider Room, which is a private room in the back of the restaurant, mainly for VIPs, but it's also open to the public, general public. So it's a beautiful establishment. We lucked out with this spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
Huge spot. Great visibility from Sunset and Green Valley Avenue. And you've got a number of restaurants here, big parking lot, so this is going to be cool.
I love it. We have a special guest with us right now. It's the Raiders president, Dan Ventrelli, was kind enough to join us today. Dan, first of all, welcome. Thank you very much for spending some time with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the invite.
You got it. You got it. Obviously, Dan, Monday night is going to be historic, meaningful. The hard work that everybody over in your building put into building that Allegiant Stadium and now being able to welcome fans back in. Before we get into some of the nuts and bolts and some of the areas that fans need to be aware of, how excited are you just about being able to open the doors to Allegiant Stadium for your wonderful fans and to have them be able to officially be part of this great home that you guys have built?
Yeah, we couldn't be more excited to have Raider Nation in the building. I mean, we're very proud, obviously, of the building. We love how it came out, how it represents this community and everything that it stands for. But most importantly, we love the opportunity to have our fan base in there. You know, it's their house, and to open the doors of their house and have them come in and to be able to cheer for their team and be loud and boisterous like they are is going to be a great honor for us to welcome them back.
You know what's really cool, and Lincoln, I don't know if you've experienced this, but whenever you drive by the stadium, and I've driven by it at all hours of the night, like literally all hours, there's fans out there all the time, 24/7, taking pictures, taking selfies, and they've got these smiles that stretch all the way across Las Vegas Boulevard. And what it dawned on me when I started observing that was how proud your fan base is to have that as their home. And there's a little bit, to me anyway, of, is this really ours? Is this all the hard work, all the fighting that you guys had to do to find this beautiful home, to create this beautiful home, not just for your team and your players and your coaches, which is obviously important, but for this fan base, the pride that they're expressing, seeing it for the first time and experiencing it is kind of cool. And I'm sure you've experienced that as well.
Oh, it's phenomenal, and it's great that they feel so close to it. You know, it's great that they feel that they can embrace it, and it's great that they feel like it represents them. And that was important to us, right? That was always part of Mark Davis's vision, is to have a building that really identifies, that really represents the team, what it stands for. You don't walk around that building and wonder who plays here.
No,
you don't have to think about, you know, what whose fans are in this building
exactly,
cheering for which team, right? It's very obvious, it's very evident, and we're very proud of that.
You know, I told Mark one time we were chatting after it was built that they should set up a geofence in the perimeter around the stadium, that whether you're on 15 or you're driving by it, all of a sudden the Imperial March comes on. Dun, 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 dun. Because you know it's a home. I mean, look, I'm so proud of the organization and so happy for the organization, because even in my quarter of a century being affiliated with, we never really had our own spot. We never really had our own place. And I remember, you know, legendary Al Davis was talking about eventually it was going to happen, and it didn't happen before it passed. Mark made that vision come true. But now when you walk into Allegiant Stadium, I'm blown away because it's ours. you see the Raider lore. You see Raiders. It's not, you're not sharing with anyone else, not sharing with SC, not sharing with the A's. It's Raiders. It's Raiders first, and it's a Raiders home. And I think the fans are going to reflect that once they get in. I honestly think it's going to be a true home field advantage.
I don't think there's any question.
What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And, Link, I think it's even bigger than that. It's ours. It's the team's for sure. But when you think about all the exceptional people that went into building it,
true story,
right? I mean, through two governors, the county commission that supported it, an entire legislature that supported it, an organized labor community that was proud to build it. I mean, all of the people who have contributed to it, to be able to open the doors and to have them be able to walk in and say, this is something that I created, is an enormous source of pride. For the Raiders, for sure, but for the community as a whole, definitely.
Yeah, I was there last Saturday night for the Arizona-BYU game, and there's 55,000 fans in the stands, and I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you. Like, all right, you know, two good programs. I go over there, and it's packed, and it's loud, and it's boisterous, and it's fun. And that's just like a taste of what this stadium is going to create for this community.
No, agree. And we love the environment at the preseason game, and we look forward to being even more festive when, you know, it matters for real here on Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. That said, as historic a night as it's going to be, and I can't wait to see it all unfold, there's some important information that we need to talk about. I give the Raiders so much credit for being aggressive in terms of the leadership that you guys showed. To draw, you know, whether it's drawing the line in the sand, whatever, however you want to put it, but you were saying, look, we want to keep our fans as healthy and safe as possible. We still are, unfortunately, operating in the middle of a pandemic. There's precautions that need to be taken. And you guys took the lead in this in the NFL and were the first to say, look, in order for this to happen, we feel like our fans, the fans that are there, have to be vaccinated. And first of all, if you could just kind of go into the decision to make that stand, which obviously it's not going to be 100% popular. There's going to be some resistance, but you felt like you had to do it, and rightfully so, and you took that leadership role in doing that.
Sure, that's right. I mean, for us, health and safety is always our number one priority. We want to make sure the fans are safe. We want to make sure the environment is safe. So we were driven by that. Frankly, we're also driven by doing the right thing. You know, we didn't want to figure out how to do the popular thing necessarily. We wanted to make sure we did the right thing by our fans and by the community. And we wanted to create an environment where they could know what to expect. We wanted to create an environment where they could have the game day experience that they love and remember. We want them to be able to celebrate with their friends, gather with their neighbors, and to be able to eat and drink and cheer and yell and have the experience that they've all been missing for a year.
Yeah.
And so in order to do that, we felt like it should be an environment where they didn't have to wear a mask, where they didn't have to worry about them or the person sitting next to them, where they could just enjoy the game in the way that they remember. And we also wanted to make sure that we knew what it was going to look like all year. Right? We know that the landscape is changing.
Yep.
And with the landscape changing, a lot of the rules have to change with it. And so we thought if we could create something that created certainty and told us that the building is going to be full all year, if you have your season ticket and you're vaccinated, you know what to expect for an entire season. You can have the full stadium, the game day environment you love and remember, and be able to have the good time that you've missed having for a year.
Right. And in order for that to happen, there's some responsibility on all of our parts, and the vaccination obviously being the key to that. But also so that it works efficiently and seamlessly and everyone's able to get into the stadium as quickly as possible. We're trying to get the word out. I know you guys are trying to get the word out on the Clear app and what needs to be done so that Monday night is going to come off as seamlessly as possible. If you could just talk about what it is that fans need to do in order to be able to get into the stadium as quickly as possible.
Sure. The main message is really to just be proactive, right? Do it early. We've obviously partnered with Clear to use the Clear app to be able to verify vaccinations among the fans as they enter the building. So in order to do that, you have to download the Clear app, upload your vaccination card, put your ID in connection with it. It takes about 5 minutes. Once you do it, you're done for the entire season. You don't have to redo it every time. It's not a game-by-game thing. It's a one-time thing that can be done right now on the Clear app. If you do it right now, it'll still work in January at our last home game. So the important message is to be proactive. Don't wait until game day. Frankly, don't wait until tomorrow. Do it right now. Upload your information. It'll take you less than 5 minutes. It's the only time you have to do it all year. If you go to raiders.com/clear, You can watch a how-to video that walks you through the entire process. There's a link to download the app. You can click directly to it and be done in 5 minutes. It's a simple and easy process, and the more people are proactive about it, the more efficiently we can get everyone into the game.
So what I hear you saying, and I just want to put words in your mouth, Dan, everything's electronic these days. No more paper tickets, no more paper cards, anything. Everything's electronic. So you have to use your smartphone or have that tangible to be able to get in, right?
You have to use your smartphone to be able to have the Clear app. Mm-hmm. You can still get in with your paper tickets if you have them. Mm-hmm. You can get in with an electronic ticket too, but the Clear app is on your mobile device.
Right.
It displays a green screen with your picture on it that you'll hold up to walk through the gate. Mm-hmm. If you're proactive and you have it done, getting the app to show up on game day is as simple as signing into iTunes. It does a facial scan just like your iTunes sign in. It pulls up your entry pass, and you can walk right through the gate.
I've gotten emails. I'm sure you guys have gotten emails and people reaching out. I'm from Canada. Clear app's not working for me. Or I'm partially vaccinated. And I'm not going to be fully vaccinated before the season opener. Are there some provisions being made for those scenarios?
Great question. Yes, we have an alternate screening set up for any of those scenarios. The three most common ones that come up are a partially vaccinated person, someone who has an international card that doesn't upload to Clear, or a child that's age 12 or 13 that's vaccinated. And for those three groups, you have to go to an alternative screening site. There's one on the north and one on the south end of the stadium. We're going to open the one on the north end of the stadium so that anybody who wants to do that can do it over the weekend from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. You bring your documents and your ID to that alternate screening site, and you can get a wristband that will enable you to go in the building. If you're partially vaccinated, you have to wear a mask, but you can still enter the building, go to the game, and enjoy the game. So you can, even if you haven't been vaccinated and wait until Monday night and want to make the last minute decision, you can get a vaccine on site at the stadium and then receive a wristband that'll allow you to go into the game wearing a mask. So there's opportunities for everyone, regardless of their circumstances, to be able to get in, be verified, and get into the game.
How important, obviously, this technology is the key to everything. Were you guys aware that this existed as you were contemplating this? And how did that kind of come about?
We had been in conversation with Clear before we made the decision. We had thought of it as an innovative product. We knew that they were the gold standard in terms of verifying the authenticity of the vaccination information. And so we had been in conversation with them, and even before it was evident how we were going to use it, we talked to them about the product, how the team could use the product, what the different options were. And then as we started having people in the building and started seeing that there were real efficiencies to going to an all-vaccinated environment, and that we could create the certainty in the fan environment that would give us the ability to keep the stadium full all year and have the environment we wanted, we were already familiar with the product, and then it was just a matter of understanding its application and going through the process. So we're constantly thinking about these things, and in this case, we had it all ready to go and were able to hit the ground running when we made the decision.
What's the dialogue been with the NFL? And I'm sure they're curious to see all this play out, and you guys are trailblazers in that regard, and I think it's going to be successful and you're going to lead the way. But what have those conversations been like with the league?
I would say they're evolving. Since we've done it, people have seen the response that we've received, and I think people are really encouraged by it. And so we've had other teams reach out. We've had the league reach out. We've had teams in other sports reach out. And so we've had that dialogue ongoing. In fact, we've had that dialogue for a long time because we made the decision as a business to have everybody who works for the team have a mandatory vaccination policy in May. So our entire building has been fully vaccinated since then. And so we've had other business leaders reach out to us. We've had people in the resort community reach out to us. It's been a decision that we've made to try to protect the health and safety of our employees and now our fans for many, many months. And so we've had that opportunity to have that discussion in a lot of different forums.
Dan, last one for me. It's been a long time since the Raiders were the hottest ticket in town. How's it feel?
We love it. We love being popular.
Wow.
And we love it because we know that our fan base is big and broad and diverse, and we want all of those folks to be able to be in the building. We love
That's
being
awesome.
Popular, and we hope that we can have all of our fans in that building cheering for the team and enjoying the game day environment that they love. We couldn't be more excited about it.
It's
popular
happen.
And healthy.
Absolutely.
So go to Raiders.com/ Raiders.com.
Raiders.com/clear Always have to stay on message.
I know, exactly. Raiders.com/clear Get all the information. Please, guys, do yourself a favor. Take care of this now. I mean, you got 5 minutes. You're listening to us. Download the app. Do what you got to do. It's going to take 5 minutes or so, and you'll be good to go. Because I want to see all you guys at the game on Monday night, and I want to see everybody healthy and enjoying it. And, Dan, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We're going to continue to pound it, whether it's here with the radio station, Las Vegas Review-Journal, who I cover the Raiders for. So it's a collective effort, and it's going to take teamwork, and I appreciate you coming by to talk about it today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for all you guys do for Raider Nation. We'll go hang at the Angry Crab Shack.
There you go.
That's right.
You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy. Thank you, Dan Ventrelli, the president of the Raiders, here at the Angry Crab Shack.
4250 East Sunset Road in Henderson.
We'll talk to you on the other side.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
Look who drove over here.
Yeah. You know, he heard us online, heard us on the radio, and he was like, when you were talking about the Jalen Ramsey and Hunter Renfrow.
Ah.
Some reporters were reporting how you did.
Some reporters were tweeting.
I didn't because my philosophy is I don't necessarily, like, you know, yeah, he was beating him. He was definitely beating him. But... you know, you never know what the coverage call
I'm
is.
I'm of the same mind. Yeah, I was of the same mind. You don't know what Jalen was working on to get beat like that. But that's why the way I tweeted it and reported it out was that Hunter was having a day.
Right.
And Hunter said it himself at the podium later that afternoon when he said, hey, if I can beat Jalen Ramsey, I can beat anybody.
Because
he's one of the best.
Yes, that is the voice of Paul Gutierrez. my colleague covers the Raiders for ESPN.
My co-author.
And the co-author of the book collaboration, which is called, and where can we get them? If These Walls Can Talk, you can get them at Amazon.com, right?
You get them Amazon. You can, anywhere fine books are sold, but probably what works best for Lincoln and I is, I don't know if Link, you got some in the trunk?
I did not bring any. I've got a Wazoo game to do this weekend, so I'm already heavy with my backpack and everything else.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got so much other information. I did not bring a copy, but yeah.
No, but Triumph Publishing was our publisher, and you go to the Triumph website, and there they are, and then it goes right to... you know, people have already been getting them at home that have ordered them. So it's been a lot of fun to see people's reactions on social media. And again, it was a labor of love to be able to do it with Lincoln. I never covered Lincoln. I was never a teammate of him, but to be a teammate with him on this project was the ultimate.
Yeah, he's a professional. He's an all-pro for a reason. And that doesn't go just for football, but life as well. all right, so Paul, you were out at Henderson earlier today. Talked to a lot of people today.
That was a lot.
It was a marathon media session, which you know, when you're on kind of a deadline and all that, it's not the best. But then you have all this stuff that you could talk about and continue to write about throughout the weekend. What are you most curious about seeing on Monday? I was trying to get Derek to talk about, like, there has to be a curiosity level because there is a level of unknown about this team. We just haven't seen it on the field yet together. We have at practice, no doubt about it, but like in an actual game. So for you, what are you most curious about Monday night?
Well, I say this without trying to curry favor with Lincoln, but I want to see how this offensive line comes together because this is an entirely rebuilt offensive line. You got a new starter at the most, you know, important position there as the quarterback of the offensive line at center, a new right tackle, Lincoln's old position, and then we don't even know if Richie Incognito is going to be able to play or not, or should he? So you get all these guys together, you don't know how this is going to react to this fearsome Baltimore pass rush going forward. And we've said this for many times here that Derek Carr now has weapons all over the place.
Yes.
But none of it makes any sense. None of it matters if he's on his back or if he's constantly on the run. So to me, I want to see how that offensive line responds to, I hate the term, but to live fire.
And, you know, we saw that in the Super Bowl, how much and how important an offensive line is to the operation. Doesn't matter how creative you are. Doesn't matter how great your quarterback is. If he's running for his life, as Patrick Mahomes did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are getting ready to play some football here, It doesn't matter in Lincoln. You have to get the play protected.
Everything starts up front on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive line, and Paul's exactly right. Want to see how this offense is going to do. I mean, I'm curious to see how Brian Edwards is going to play.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Henry Ruggs learned from his last year playing to this year. Obviously, you know, you talk about Alex Leatherwood because I was high on the draft choice, seeing how he's going to do full-time. There were times he struggled a little bit in preseason. You know, struggle with pass pro. It's going to be key. It's going to be critical. And more importantly, just to see how teams are going to try to defend against Darren Waller. I mean, those are things that I'm looking forward on offense. Defense, there's so much unknown because right. we haven't seen the starters play it. I don't even know where to start there.
Paul, I mean, I guess you start with the linebackers.
Yeah, of course.
They've got two new linebackers in the course of the past, what, 9 days?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Neither have I. But they were upgrades, too.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
on paper, anyway. On it's paper. Upgrade. Like, not only did they change it up at the last second because partly out of necessity, I also think they realized we got to make some changes here. But all of a sudden, you've got K.J. Wright, Denzel Perryman, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski as your linebacker group, Divine Diablo, you know, the rookie. But it's not a bad-looking group on paper. And when was the last time we could say that about the Raiders, honestly?
About the linebackers especially.
Because
it's been a bugaboo since Lincoln was on the team back in the early 2000s because you've tight ends in the AFC West in particular – have just feasted on this defense.
Yes.
And that's what Corey Littleton was signed last year to do, supposedly, was to cover sideline to sideline. Well, now that you've got a thumper in K.J. Wright, now that you've got a quarterback of the defense and Denzel Perryman, supposedly, purportedly, maybe that frees up Corey then to not think so much and just go and play and react and cover sideline to sideline and be the guy that they thought they were signing last year in free agency.
And on top of all that, this is what I go back to. We were talking to Unique Ngakoue today, and I was kind of naming the players that himself and a bunch of others that are newcomers here, and some guys that like a Max Crosby who looks like he might be headed to a really good season.
Yeah.
I mean, you can legitimately name 9 defensive linemen that you feel comfortable with out there that aren't you're not like hoping that they do well. These are guys that have a track record as well.
And when you're looking at the resumes, you're looking at things on paper, they look good. They look better than the Raiders defense has in a long time. But you know, we're all old school guys here. I'll bring up some Bum Phillips from the Saints in the 1980-81 when he said potential doesn't mean anything because you haven't done a damn thing yet.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Papers don't hit back.
But gut feeling, though, would you be less surprised or surprised if this defense isn't considerably – I don't know if considerably is the right word, but just better, flat out better than it was last year? How surprised will you be if it's not?
I'm going to go back. I've become a Beatles fan in the past few years.
I like
here,
that.
Right? I'm a Beatles fan
like
now
that.
All of a sudden, and there's a song, you got to say that things are getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting better all the time.
Yeah.
Well, then there's John Lennon, the realist, when he says, couldn't get much worse.
Right. Okay. All right.
That's my Beatles trivia for you,
Link. Oh, my goodness. You just ride the fence here. Yeah, okay.
But seriously, and I know, because I say the same. I'm like, man, it really can't be any worse. All right. So let's qualify that. If it's worse, they're in a lot of trouble. Let's admit that right off the bat. But let's qualify it a little bit. How disappointed, shocked, surprised would you be if this defense wasn't discernibly better, like legitimately better?
Yeah, that's what they spent this offseason doing, is rebuilding the defense. It was the priority. The offensive line became a priority later when they decided to rebuild it.
Yeah.
But the defense was what they took advantage of. Most of the draft picks were on the defensive side of the ball. They get Gus Bradley to come in, smiling Gus to come in and put some fear into some offense's hearts, and you go from there. And like I said, I've never seen a team rebuild its linebacker core less than 10 days before the season opener.
No doubt about it.
It's usually not that easy. It's usually not that simple.
Right.
You don't have that availability out of potentially guys not only who are familiar with the defense and played it, but are also available. And I think that, you know, what I will say this about the defense, what I'm pleasantly pleased with what I've seen so far is the placement and how they're using Jonathan Abram.
Yeah.
You know, bringing him down in the box, allowing him to be more of a rover and a box safety rather than putting him in space. They still have their changeup where they go there too deep and everything else. That's a main staple to their defense. But seeing things like that leads me to believe that things are going to be a lot better. And just seeing potentially what they have on paper, way Gerald McCoy has played, you know, trying to revive his career. You know, I know what you get out of Salomon Thomas. I know what you get out of Ngakoue. I know, you know, I've seen flashes out of Kuntz, even though he had that little bummed ankle.
Yep.
So they've got some places, some people that can get some pressure on the quarterback, which is absolutely essential in this style of defense.
Talking about Jonathan Abram, I don't think there's a better setup for him than this game. Like, he can have, one way or another, I guess, a huge impact. But, yeah, you know, this could be because he's going to figure prominently in defending Lamar Jackson and defending that style of offense. This could be a great launch point for him in this new position to get things turned around for himself.
And I think it's interesting, too. A year ago, I asked the defensive backs coach at the time about dealing with somebody like a Jonathan Abram. And he said, well, you know what? It's easier to get guys to slow down than it is to get them to speed up.
Right.
Ron Miles now is telling us, well, I told Jonathan, just turn the volume down just a little bit. Yep. So that just tells you where he is right now in terms of just the mental part of things. He really is just a second-year player. I know he was a first-round pick 2 years ago, but he played one half of one game as a rookie. So it is the fact that we haven't heard much from him, and Hard Knocks wasn't here, and he wasn't talking about salmon or Salmon or whatever. He's able to just focus on the task at hand, and even when he comes out and talks to us at the podium, we're like, this isn't Jonathan Abram. Who's this guy? Who's this imposter?
The hair is different.
Yeah,
everything.
We had fun.
Yeah.
But from a pure football standpoint, maybe that's what he needs.
I went back and was watching film all this past week, preparing for the Ravens and just studying up when we do our Silver and Black show and stuff like that. And I honestly think the last time they took on as potent of a run, potentially run offense like this is when they went to New England. Cam Newton, a mobile quarterback, and they, you know, they gave up a lot of yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Now I know it's a new defense, but you also because we didn't see it in preseason, we got to go off of what we saw in history,
exactly.
You know, and use history so it doesn't help repeat itself. And then we were talking about the 49er game where the 49ers just went down with the opening drive, ran outside, did everything that hurt this defense a year before, did it to them. And, again, it's preseason. Yeah. I understand that. But, you know, this is going to be a big test out the box.
Yeah.
And I know that the Ravens are injured. You know, they had a couple more injuries happen today, and they're not at full strength. But this is still, a capable team, especially because they got a game changer like Lamar Jackson.
Paul, you've been covering the Raiders for a long time. I got to ask you this. Have you ever gone through a training camp where you wrote less about Derek Carr? Like, I remember this time last year we were like, will he throw it long? Will he run? Is he the quarterback of this team? I just feel like that's been solidified. It's all been solidified. He's fine. He's not the issue.
He's never been the issue.
I agree.
And honestly, you bring up a good point. I think Lincoln and I wrote about Derek more in the book than I wrote about him this during training camp, obviously. Off-season, there's always the Derek Carr, Derek Carr stories in the off-season because that gets clicks, that's interesting, and you can never write about the quarterback enough. But Derek, to me, he's never been the problem. But it was always the question was, is he the answer?
Right.
And if you have to ask that question, well, then maybe you do have a problem.
Right.
And you just go forward. You look at the stats and like, what's not to like? Career high in passing yards, career high in quarterback rating, total QBR, all that. But there's just something that's missing. And then you look at the win-loss record. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
But then his defenders will say, that's a team statistic. That shouldn't be a quarterback. It goes back to the position, the most important position in team sports, in my opinion. The quarterback gets too much of the blame when things go wrong, too much of the credit when things go right. Here we are.
And I think for Lincoln, the first time maybe in his career, it was, to me anyway, clearly defined that the issue primarily was on defense. Like, there's not much more he could have done. Let's face it, there's always more you can do.
Sure.
We're not naive about it. But there was only so much he could have done to overcome that kind of a defense. So for the first time ever, I think people are like, well, you know, he's pretty much he could be part of the answer. This defense was the issue last year.
Yeah, because you could play that game over and over and over.
Yeah.
They were legitimately three plays away from being 11-5. They're also three plays away that the defense did make from being 5-11.
Right.
So you could play that game all day long as well. When it comes to Derek Carr, he's the guy. Get used to it and just kind of figure it out. Unless, of course, the next line of stories, Vinny, as you know, is going to be contract extension. Do they re-up him? Do they bring him back? Do you sit and wait? Because all the guaranteed money's paid out.
What do you make of our guy Darren Waller with just forgetting the name of the agency?
Oh, the agency?
Oh, Clutch Sports, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I know you hit him up with it, and he said, and he smiled and said, I did not have a conversation with Braun. So that to me, I thought was interesting. But I mean, you can make a case that he is the most underpaid star tight end in the NFL, and yet I don't think money drives him. He said it today, and we've both had individual conversations with the man, and he's just an inspiration because from where he's been, the depths to where he's been with substance abuse to where he is today, he takes things day by day, hour by hour, and it's inspiring to see him do that and to tell his story, to tell Max Crosby's story. In Las Vegas, in Sin City, this where excess is everything. It's really inspiring to watch these things. So it's for Darren Waller to get a new agency and add on to it tells me that he's ready to take that next step and have more of a spotlight shine on him because he's that much more comfortable in his own skin.
Last one for me, Paul. What do you think we're going to see Monday night out of the Silver and Black?
I think the offense is going to start quick. Actually, I think they do have something cooking. And with the Ravens so beat up with the run game, it comes down to this. Can they stop Lamar Jackson from running? Knowing he's going to run and being able to stop him are two totally separate things. And to me, that's where the game is going to be won or lost. Who's going to be that spy on the Raider defensive side to keep an eye on him? Is it Abram? Is it Littleton? Is it somebody that we're not even thinking about? But it's got to be an athletic guy that can just spy and doesn't have to be in coverage and go and be a heat-seeking missile on attack. And that sounds like Abram, but we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle and dropping by. It's Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, and he's the co-author of If These Walls Could Talk with our guy here, Lincoln Kennedy. And we're at Lincoln Kennedy's restaurant, the Angry Crab Shack, here in Henderson, Nevada. Come on by. The game is about to start.
Well, the game's on this TV. We've got another TV. We've got to change.
Okay. What do you recommend?
That's what I was doing. Go with the crab. Go with the crab bag, okay? And depending on how spicy you like, you got to go with the crab bag.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignor and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m.
We're going right out to the Raider Nation listener line. Dominico wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Dominico?
Good. Hey, so listen, I wanted to ask you guys a question about Gruden. Is as a diehard and going back to the exit in early 2000s, which Lincoln was obviously close to. Getting some perspective from a media guy, Vinny and Lincoln, on why it seems to be more and more, unless it's just clickbait, why there's so many haters out there from the media, be it folks that were close to the game who almost seem to be wishing the worst upon the guy. Did he burn bridges or something? Because there's always media darlings, it seems, when it comes to coaches in the NFL. And this man is almost single-handedly responsible for a lot of the success that some of these quote-unquote media darling coaches have had. So I just wanted to get some insight and perspective on why that seems to be more evident over the last couple of years. The guy's an icon in the sport. He's a football purist. Is he hated on? Is it legit or is it clickbait?
Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. A couple of things. He's a target. He knows that he's a target. When you're a guy like John Gruden, he's a character, he likes to joke around a little bit. He has kind of a persona. The nickname that they had
for Chucky?
Yeah, the Chucky thing. He does a lot of commercials. He was on television. You know, he talks and screams and has a lot of fun. So, in that regard, you become kind of a target for hate sometimes. I don't necessarily get it. I've got a great relationship with him. He knows that I have a job to do, and when there's criticism that's warranted, he understands that. But I think I'm with you. I think that there are people, Lincoln, who take a little bit of glee in taking some pot shots at John Gruden. And it'll be interesting to see what their reaction is and what their narrative is if he does get this thing turned around.
I believe that there are personalities, there are people in all sports, mm-hmm, that have been sort of vilified to where you either like them or you hate them.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people, I honestly believe, especially in the media world, that are waiting for Gruden to fail because it was unprecedented to have a 10-year, $100 million
That's
contract.
That's another aspect.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're like, wait, you give this – somebody who had a 500 record when he was coaching, you're going to give this type of money and turn over this organization? So there were a lot of people that questioned that.
Yeah.
You know, so there are haters out there that are waiting for him to fail. Mm-hmm. There are believers out there who are waiting for him who thinks he's going to succeed. Only time will tell. But you know the leash is getting shorter and shorter. You know what I mean? The room of forgiveness is getting shorter and shorter. That's why I feel that there's a sense of urgency on this team to win now.
Yeah, and I think that urgency is also tied into the fact that I think there's an awareness that this is a pretty decent looking football team.
Yeah.
Like, it should happen now, and it should be a better product now. They should be able to finish the season stronger. Let's not forget, there's been some good starts.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a 6-2 start, a 6-3 start, I think it was, 6-4. So they've been in the mix. They haven't been able to finish. And I think part of that has been talent-related.
Yep.
And I think part of that has been depth-related. They've been tested with the injuries and pushed to the limit, with their with that depth because of the injuries. And I also think that COVID-19, Lincoln, last year didn't do them any favors.
Especially with the inexperience they had.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan Abram not really playing a year. That was his first year. You know, basically.
Damon Arnett.
I mean, all the – we could sit here and point fingers at anything. But also you talk about the scheme and everything else, how they were in positions to fail rather than to succeed. So
exactly.
There's a lot of things. But ultimately, just like Paul said when we had him, you know, the quarterbacks get a lot of the glory when they do well.
Right.
They get a lot of the blame when they do wrong. Same thing goes about the head coach.
Yeah.
Because you're the ultimate manager.
Right.
So everybody's focused on you.
Yes.
You start off strong. You get all the praise in the world. You're in position for coach of the year. Look
at
he's got him. Then if you fail and wet yourself, oh, my gosh, we need to get rid of him.
Exactly.
Why is he still there?
Exactly. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Lamar wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Lamar?
Hey, I'm doing well. I just kind of want to piggyback on what the last caller was talking about with media members not necessarily taking a liking to Gruden. I was just listening to a 95.7 The Game up here in the Bay Area.
Uh-oh.
And, you know where I'm going with this one. And they have Damon Bruce, Matt Kolsky, and Ray Rattle on their Drive Time. And they were slandering Gruden. They had mentioned the piece that you just done with Gruden, and they just took a very little snippet of what you're talking about with Gruden. They said Gruden feels no pressure, and which is the complete opposite of what Gruden has reiterated on multiple different occasions, saying he does feel pressure getting this team to the playoffs. He does feel pressure getting this team to X amount of wins and completely reversing the tide. He knows that this is a winning team, and he needs to get that team to the playoffs this year. I was just wondering, why is it such a caveat to go after Gruden, especially here in the Bay Area? Why is it that they don't take a liking to Gruden?
I don't know. You know, I think that when you're talking about the Bay Area and the Raiders, you know, they left unceremoniously. It was a long breakup, and it was in some ways an ugly breakup. I think that I know where the fault lies. And I don't believe it was with the Raiders organization. That's just based on my reporting of the situation. I don't care if they had stayed in Oakland or moved to Los Angeles. It wasn't going to change my life at all. It actually kind of did because I ended up moving from California to Las Vegas to cover him. But that's a whole separate type of a thing. So there's no love lost right now between the Bay Area media and the Bay Area radio personalities and the Raiders. And John Gruden happens to be the face, for lack of a better word, of the Raiders. As far as the pressure thing, that's not really what he meant. I know that he feels pressure. I think what he's really trying to say is, I can't let that, you know, I can't dwell on it. There's not much you could do about it other than win. So if you feel it and you give into it, Lincoln, you're just defeating yourself. You can't operate in your own mind under pressure. You just have to, because it takes away you doing your job.
Well, we're talking about 95.7 The Game up in the Bay Area. Look, they turned their back on the Raiders just like they did the A's and everything else.
Right.
Long before the Raiders were gone.
Right.
I remember when they were the flagship station, they would spend countless Mondays after a game day talking more about the 49ers
right.
than they did with the Raiders.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why that they were, you know, they were glad to see the Raiders leave because they didn't have to cover them anymore. But you'll have people out there in various spots who are going to pick up, try to pick apart everything the Raiders do. Well, why did they get rid of Tanner Muse? Oh, well, they only have so many of their top draft choices. You know, not really telling you the full story, nitpicking and giving you an angle from their perspective to talk down about.
Right.
You know, as you mentioned yesterday in the show, and I thought it was such a valid point, you're trading Tanner Muse for K.J. Wright.
That's what you did.
A veteran who's been in the system, and you need a linebacker to play right now, not somebody that you can develop.
Right.
You know, he might be a Tanner Muse might be a good talent.
I'm hoping
down the road,
for the best for
but
the
But at
kid.
The same point, you need somebody right now because linebacker core is where you had a big hole.
Right.
But you don't get that whole story when you hear when you see
of
those.
Of course
songs.
Not.
And so that's why, you know, I would tell everybody, Raider Nation voice, stop listening to the national media.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, and I don't want to take any ratings away from that.
Oh, yeah,
that
well, I do,
station.
Because they're going to talk derogatory about the team until somebody plays.
It's called hate coverage.
Exactly.
All right? It's going on in San Diego with the Chargers. It goes on with in St. Louis with the Rams. The key is nobody here hears it.
And now that's why both of those teams are in the most
nobody here hears it. Nobody in Los Angeles hears the hate from St. Louis. The problem for the Chargers is – you can hear those stations in Los Angeles that are in San Diego. So that hate is like right on top of them, and that's something that they have to deal with. But in terms of the Raiders, in terms of this fan base out here, I'm sure Raider Nation, parts of Raider Nation, is tuning into those radio stations out of habit or whatever. Or because
especially if they live in the area.
Exactly.
I think he was living in that area.
Exactly, and I get it. But, you know, just – take it with a grain of salt what they're saying. First of all, none of those guys are here.
Right.
I haven't seen any of those guys at practice. They weren't up at the game. Maybe one of or two of them were at the game when the 49ers hosted the Raiders in the preseason game. But whatever they're saying, it's just they're talking out of their ear right now, which is they're more than allowed to do. But just take it with a grain of salt, and you can't let it get to you. And the ultimate form of retribution, if you're a Raider fan, is if your team starts winning.
True story.
And that's how you're going to have to shut them up. It's the only way you're going to be able to shut them up. And it's history has shown that will shut them up. So, you know, I would say Italians, we have this saying, it's called agita. When, you eat something and it kind of sits right here and it kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. Well, you're going to give yourself agita if you listen to those shows. If you're a Raider fan, you're going to get yourself it's worked up for no reason. And just understand that that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you worked up.
Haters.
Yeah, exactly. So, and last thing, the only way you shut them up is by winning.
That's right.
Hey, Lincoln, thank you so much for hosting us.
Get some food, Benny.
I got the family coming over here here at the Angry Crab Shack in Henderson. We've got the football games on, so come
7-7.
Join us. Yep. 7-7. There
seven,
you go.
Yep.
Come join us and watch the game and hang out. Lincoln will be here for a little while watching the game. Truly appreciate it. We're back at the Treasure Island tomorrow at the Golden Circle Sportsbook from 4 to 6. And don't forget Saturday or Sunday night over at the Rockstar Bar starting at 5 o'clock. We're having a get-together at the Rockstar Bar. We're giving away tickets to the Raiders against Ravens. Great music, great food, great drinks. We will see you guys there at the Treasure Island and at the Rockstar Bar on Sunday.
Go Raiders!
Yep, absolutely. In the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.